24 hours away from a hero's breakfast. That's right, tomorrow morning at Scrambler's Friday Roadshow. Scrambler's is on Republic and National. If you're a veteran, you come by, you're going to get the breakfast. You get a breakfast special for free. That thanks to our friends at Air Services, Heating, Cooling, All Service, Plumbing, and Delta Roofing. And, of course, Scramblers. Big thank you to them as well for making that possible. Something we're able to do every so often. We just like doing it. It's a great time, good times. Come by between 6 and 9 tomorrow as we have our Friday Road Show. Now, of course, if you're not a veteran, you still come by and buy yourself some delicious breakfast. And enjoy the company, enjoy the show. It's a great way to start off your day and to kick off that last day of the week as we make our way into the weekend. Looks like it's going to be really nice. Perfect weekend weather. We'll share that coming up. Joe Biden talked a little longer than I thought he would yesterday. My favorite part, I don't giggle often. I giggled a little bit. And I giggled as he was coming in to the chamber. You know, they're like, Speaker of the House, Pelosi, or whatever they say. The President of the United States. Generally, I believe the occupancy is around 1,500 or so, and it was like 200. When I heard those numbers, I thought, well, I guess they can make that look a little... It's just so silly to me when I see they're all spread out, they're all wearing masks. It's like you would think it was a year ago. The way they're behaving. No wonder when Americans see that behavior and they know every one of those individuals has been fully vaccinated, that people are less likely to get vaccinated. Because they see that and they're like, are these people... Now, granted, most of them are in the most vulnerable category age-wise. I mean, we are talking with a number of these lawmakers, particularly the Democrats. It seems as if the average age is about 107. They're all vying for that crypt keeper status. And so, granted, there is that component to it. But you know, they run around telling us that the only way to get through this, you got to get a vaccine, got to get a vaccine. And they're fully vaccinated, and they're wearing masks, and they're like more than 6 feet apart from one another. And then they wonder, well, I don't understand why people aren't running out and getting a vaccine when that's the key to getting back to normal. And to be at the hilarity of a president standing up there and touting all these people that got vaccines. And it's like, well, yeah, you all did too, but you act like nothing's changed. So which is it? Are we all supposed to be excited and grateful because all of these people, the 200 million mark or 100 million mark, talk about these different markers and, oh, yes, yes, oh, everything's going wonderful. We're getting vaccinated. And then you look around the room and it looks mostly empty because a room filled with people 100% vaccinated, which I suppose that's the goal for the country. And you think this is what it's going to look like. What you're talking to us about a world that is the opposite of the world that you're living in right now. See, I'm amazed. You see, I see things so differently. I tell myself the things that pop up in my mind are oftentimes the things that pop up in the normal person's mind, not the mind of these commentators on television. They're like, well, you know, propose this and propose that. And I'm not even hearing what Biden's saying so much in terms of this proposal, that proposal, because I know it's all crap anyway. I know all it is about trying to just hemorrhage this country, spend as much money as possible, and looking out for essentially everybody except Americans. And policies that are going to hurt Americans while at the same time claiming these are the group of people that he's trying to help. So I've heard it all before. You've heard it all before. Instead, I'm just seeing this old codger up there who on one hand is telling us that the brightest days are just around the corner when it comes to kicking this COVID thing because we're going to get everyone vaccinated. And look at me, how many people I've managed to get vaccinated. And then there's a room with 100% vaccination and they act as if it is 1 year ago today when we had no, when, you know, you thought that looking at someone with COVID was going to kill you instantly. That's what I notice. There were a few other things that I want to address here. And it's probably going to be a little bit different than this stuff. I'm not going to play a bunch of audio. I'm not going to go through and break down, well, this much wants to spin here and this much he wants to spin there. I'm sure you'll have an opportunity to hear that throughout the day. It's all very valuable information. No question about it. But again, there's going to be plenty of opportunity for you to hear about that stuff. And as it gets pushed through Congress, attempts to push it through Congress, discussions on it. A couple of things have popped up, and I know some of them did to you as well. This nutty, absurd claim that the biggest threat to, quote, democracy since the Civil War were, you know, was an event led by a drunk guy in a Viking helmet who, like, stole a podium. Was a grouping of people in which not any of them brandished any firearms. No one tried to burn down the Capitol, you know, all of that. Not September 11th, not Pearl Harbor, not an actual bombing back in the 80s of the Capitol by left-wing activists. Not those who stormed the Capitol for the Kavanaugh hearing. No, none of these things at all. But this claim that you've heard, and it's in the context of gun control, and it's used in order to convince you that the government has the authority over your freedoms and liberties based on this lie that, well, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater. And that is used in order to get people to go, oh, well, I guess that's true. So that means that the government can come in and restrict my God-given rights, can infringe upon them. It is a very effective argument because most people believe it's true. But I got news for you. You can yell fire in a crowded theater. This is one of the most misunderstood discussions or points. And as usual, the areas in which Democrats make headway, it is through areas in which people are not fully informed. They prey on them. So that's one of the things I want to talk about, because it's something that Joe Biden said last night when it came to the violation of your God-given rights to protect yourselves by way of bearing arms, and that, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, therefore I'm God, and I can do what I want. Jason Ryman now with the latest news update. Flood warning until 2:30 for areas south of Springfield. 30% chance of showers, wait, that's right, Jason just came in and gave me an updated one. Excuse me. I should just hit the dump button right now and go back in time. But instead, I will read to you the new, most recently updated forecast. Flood warning today for parts of Greene, Christian, and Webster counties. There is a 50% chance of rain this morning. Then it will become mostly sunny, a high of 71. Clear tonight, down to 48. Tomorrow and Saturday, sunny, 76. Sunday, a renewed chance of showers and storms, with a high of 75. It is 63. Got a message on the Queen City Motors talk and text line. One lane road just east of Billings on Highway 60. An accident there. Thank you for that update. Somebody asking, just wondered if you guys noticed that many of the Democrats last night were also double masked. It wouldn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. They're nuts. This is another update. Thank you. This is another one of the reasons that people have quit paying attention to what it is that they're, quote, supposed to do regarding coronavirus, because you have all these totally, completely mixed messages. I mean, and this is the dichotomy of last night, again, where you have the president of the United States touting, you know, the path in the right direction, and, this whole idea of we all need to get vaccinated in order to kick this thing. But then it's a room filled with vaccinated people, and they're 1,000 feet apart from one another. And, some of them are wearing two masks. It's like, okay, that's an odd thing for a bunch of people who are totally vaccinated to behave, and you're telling us that that's how to get past this. They really live in a different world. They live in a totally, completely different world than the rest of us. So a number of things that occurred. Now, Biden's interest, I did laugh to myself. And let me tell you what in my head I saw occur. I saw, in my mind, this is what it was. It was presidential fantasy camp in the slow month. Like if there was some sort of camp where everybody, we had a bunch, it was in a retirement community, and you played Congress, you played president, and the end of the 2-week fantasy camp, whomever was president of the camp got to make an address, but it was the slow month, and so there weren't that many people there. That's in my head what was playing out. Or you've got a guy who lives in a retirement community or a retirement home, and he's beginning to go into the stages of dementia, which he's going to fully need to be taken care of. But everybody really likes the guy, and it's his birthday, and he's beginning to, you know, like he ran for, he was the head of the city council in his small town once, and he was, he could never let that go. Always talked about, you know, well, if I had just kept going, I could have been president one day. And so for his birthday, knowing it's probably the last birthday he's going to even remember or have any sense of what's going on, they decide in the cafeteria to create the State of the Union address so he can come in and he actually thinks he's president maybe a little bit. He's just in and out enough, and all of his friends, oh, here he comes, everyone. Frank, come on, put down the tapioca. Here comes Joe. And, oh, they're all applauding him and everything, and everybody's spread out so it looks like we're covering a large area, just like there's a big crowd of us or something. In my head, that's when, oh, he's walking in, and, oh, this is his big moment, and, oh, look. Oh, hey, Frank, how are you? Oh, yeah, how you doing there, Judy? And fist bumping and everything. That, in my mind, that's what, and I did. I giggled to myself a little bit because I thought, that's what this seems like to me. It's just such an odd, it just seemed fake. Okay, so again, you know, he touted the number of Americans who are getting vaccines, but once again, what difference does it make the way that they're behaving? Talked a little bit about Afghanistan. There was, you know, stuff that I don't think there was anything really new here. There wasn't anything in which you go, oh, wow, this is a new direction. You're going to hear a lot about the fact that he has claimed that the event on January 6th is the single worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War. And we all know that's absurd. And, of course, it completely diminishes and spits on the memory. I mean, you think about the people who lost their lives running into those towers, who lost their lives at the Pentagon, the people who lost their lives that field in Pennsylvania because they knew through communications from loved ones that there was an attack on this country. And they knew that planes were being used in order to try and carry out mass casualties, and, you know, the whole let's roll. They were not going to let that happen. And if that meant they died, these were people that got up just thinking they were going to go, you know, on their work trip, go on vacation, go wherever. They woke up just like you are today, thinking it was going to be another day. And before noon even hit, for those people, or whatever time it was, I guess it was early afternoon, but before the day was even halfway over here, they had made the decision that they were going to sacrifice their lives to save Americans whom they had never even met before. That was a sort of, and to diminish those events by claiming what happened on January 6th was a greater threat to this country than that? It's psychopathic. Now, it's for good reason, though, and it is because they want you to think of Trump supporters and any American who dares question the Democrat Party as being worse than Islamic terrorists that carried out 9/11, or the Japanese government that carried out Pearl Harbor, or the left-wing activists that set off a bomb inside the Capitol in 83. I think it was 83. That's, and frankly, I think it's a genuine belief. They see you, independent thinking people who question authority, who believe that you have liberties, and that your liberties and your freedoms, your rights, don't come from them. That you are a greater danger than people who boarded airplanes, slit throats with box cutters, and threw them into buildings, killing thousands of people with the hope of destroying an entire nation. That's what the Democrats think of you. You are worse than that. And the reason that they frame it the way that they do, in trying to convince Americans that what happened on January 6th was a greater threat to this country than 9/11 or Pearl Harbor or any of these other events, is because they want people to believe that. They figure we're far enough away from 9/11, and we have people who are old enough to vote today who were not alive when 9/11 happened. So they don't remember that stuff. But they remember the way that the media presented January 6th and characterized it as an insurrection to overthrow the country. And for those of us who remember September 11th, for example, we know what an absurd, we're like, it's not even worth considering or talking about. But you've got to understand, there's a generation of people that they are as far removed from September 11th as you and I are from the Civil War. We know about it, but we don't have an emotional connection. We don't remember what it was like when it happened. And so those people, they do have an emotional connection, and they are sitting in schools today that, like Springfield, with critical race theory that teach them that those people who stormed the Capitol were trying to execute and murder members of Congress, and that they're white supremacists, and that it was an insurrection with an attempt to overthrow the country. And when you have a president of the United States that tells them in an address to Congress that those people or a greater danger to this country than we've seen since the Civil War, don't believe that you won't have some people who were not alive or don't remember September 11th that buy into it. Because emotional, visual, you know, being there in some capacity has a huge impact. And for young people that were, you know, they watch CNN or MSNBC or, you know, any of the other networks and the way they presented it and that emotional stirring they get going, that doesn't exist for them for 9/11. So as absurd as we may think that it is, and as absurd as it is, so we think, well, no one's going to take it seriously, do not believe that. They know what they're doing when they make claims like that. Springfield's Talk 104.1, I'm Nick Reed. Yesterday, we ventured over, a number of us, to our good friends at Tie and Timber Beer Company to lay out some of the logistics for the big event coming up May 15th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That was the first time you had been there, correct? Is that right, Sarah?
Yes, and it is the perfect venue for this.
See, did I know what I was doing, or
yes,
did I know what
did.
I was doing?
I'll give you the props for it. It's
I knew
awesome.
What I was doing. Yeah, it's really great, and they are so awesome over there to be like, yep, we're going to provide staff, we're going to let you guys have this place for your event. They've got four veterans that work there, and they're all about helping out veterans. This we're going to do and raise money for Honor Flight of the Ozarks. It's sort of weird to explain this because I don't want to make it sound like this isn't for that purpose, but it's dual purpose. One, it really is. That's not the main goal. We're just to have it. I want to have a good time. I want everybody to get together and have a really great time in a venue that many of you haven't been at. Frankly, it's one of my very favorite venues. So it's sort of like an opportunity for me to have all my friends come over to one of my favorite places. You know, if you get a place and you love it, and you have it, you're like, oh, you guys, have you been here? And like, no, I haven't been there. And then you're like, oh, we've got to go there. And you're really excited to introduce it to them. Now, I know many of you have been to Tie and Timber Beer Company, but I also know many of you have not. And so it's one of the reasons that I wanted to do this and just have a great time, and then at the same time raise money for Honor Flight of the Ozarks. Show Me Wagyu Charities is going to be there. They're going to be providing Wagyu beef product food. They're going to be grilling it all. And that is just going to be their donation. So you can have stuff to eat while you're there at no cost. And like I said, we will be taking donations for Honor Flight of the Ozarks. We've got a number of other sponsors involved: Foreman Mechanical, Canovian Associates, Prosperity Financial Group, Delta Roofing, and all sorts of raffle prizes. We've got all of those also listed at KSGF.com, including somebody will walk away as the winner. Trip for too long, all-inclusive to Jamaica on our KSGF Great Escape, that being donated by HVAC Masters. We have so many people that are offering up donations of things. One of them I'll mention, Congressman Billy Long, a couple of different things that he has provided, and one of them is, it's not provided yet, but it will be after the fact. And what happens is, if you win the raffle, a U.S. flag will be flown in your name over the U.S. Capitol, and then you will get that flag, and I think you get a little certificate along with it designating on this day this flag was flown over the U.S. Capitol in your name. That's one of the prizes that he is donating. So we've got a whole – got a Sportsline pickup truck – or pickup – they're donating a bedliner. They're one of our partners, of course. And so there's a variety of different things that are all being donated for the raffles that we will be giving away on that day, May 15th, with the dollars again going to Honor Flight of the Ozarks. So check out the details at KSGF.com and download your free ticket. That free ticket, you get a free entry for the Great Escape when you show up, and you can show that you've downloaded the free ticket, but you've got to download it at KSGF.com. Someone had asked some time ago, so I thought it'd be appropriate to answer when they're probably not listening, who it is that I'm speaking with when on Facebook Live you see me talking over my left-hand shoulder, and that would be Sarah. Sarah is, she's back behind me and to my left, so when you see me having a conversation with someone, now you'll see her talking, you know, but her camera's right in front of her, and she's looking at me as I turn around and talk to her. So that's, if you ever wonder, like, well, during the break, he keeps turning around to his left. It's Sarah back there. There you have it, everyone. There's the answer to that mystery. One of the announcements that was made last night is that Kamala Harris is going to be put in charge of the $2 trillion jobs plan. It's hilarious to me. The first thought that pops into my mind is she going to handle this the same way handling the border crisis? So does this mean she's never going to hold a press conference about it? Does this mean she's going to stay as far away from any plants as possible, any facilities, factories that are supposed to benefit from the jobs plan? Is that what, because, you know, 36 days ago, I think it was, Joe Biden announced that she was in charge of the border, and she hasn't done a single thing about it other than she had a Zoom call with the president of Guatemala. So I don't know exactly. It's a pretty easy gig being vice president because you keep getting these jobs, but you don't actually have to do anything. Jason Reimer with the latest news. Flood warnings today, areas along and south of 60. 50% chance of rain this morning, then mostly sunny, 71. 48 tonight. Friday, Saturday, sunny, 76 at 62 and cloudy. One of the arguments that's used by the left to violate your God-given right to protect yourself with a firearm is you can't yell fire in a theater. They say this as a way to make you feel comfortable giving up your liberties. Now, newsflash, you can yell fire in a crowded theater. What? But I've always heard you can't. Let me ask you this. What if you are in a crowded theater and a fire breaks out? Do you mean to tell me that you just have to sit there and quietly leave, like, well, because I can't yell fire in a crowded theater, I guess all those people are just going to have to figure out for themselves. Now, the vast majority of you listening right now, you've got common sense. You go, well, yeah, well, that's different. Okay, right. Okay, so follow me here, because this is all based in fact. The reason that you can't, quote, yell, or when you can't yell under certain circumstances, fire in a crowded theater, it's not because someone decided, oh, that's those words, utilizing speech in, you know, that way, we have up and decided that that should be regulated. The reason you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater under certain circumstances is because it is against the law to knowingly and falsely create a panic in which people could become harmed. That's against the law, okay? That's why you can't call in a bomb threat. You cannot create a panic that you know you're creating just for the sake of panic, in which people then get harmed. That in and of itself is considered a crime. Now, it doesn't matter how you do it. If you do it in a written note, if you do it through magic, you know, however, you cannot, for example, write down, there's a bomb in the building, and I will set it off if you do not give me money, and hand it to the teller. And the reason you can't do that is not because, well, we've restricted your right to write those things down, but because you are utilizing the ability to write in order to facilitate a crime. Okay? So, it isn't the fact that you're saying there's a fire in a crowded theater that is a crime. It is the fact that you are creating a panic that would cause damage to people, knowing that you're just doing it for the sake of doing it, okay? If you want to be analogous about this, the analogy is not... See, they want to analogize it to yelling fire in a crowded theater is just like saying you can't have silencers on guns, you know? I mean, it's the same thing. No, it's not. Saying you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater is the same as saying you cannot take a gun and shoot it in the air in a crowded theater. It is because you are committing a crime with the gun. It's the same reason that you can have, you know, that it is not a violation of or an infringement of your right to bear arms to say you can't murder someone, right? We can all agree on that. You are not allowed to commit a crime utilizing a God-given right and then say, oh, well, it's okay because that's part of my God-given right. So you have a right to bear arms, yes, but that doesn't mean you get to murder people with the right to bear arms. Let's look at freedom of the press. Is there freedom of the press? Yes. Well, let's say some journalists decided they wanted to write a story on what it's like to rape and murder someone. But they felt the only way to really do it, to really be able to translate what that's like, is to commit a rape and a murder so they could write about it. Now, because is saying you cannot rape and murder that person a violation of the free press? No, it's not. And in turn, just because you have freedom of the press, that does not mean that you are allowed to commit some sort of crime and then say, well, but I was writing a story about it, so I have freedom of the press. No, that's not how it works. So the reason I bring this up is because whenever you have somebody on the left say, you can't yell fire in a crowded theater, they want you to believe what that means. That because you accept that, you go, yeah, that seems right. That means they have the right to decide what aspects of your God-given rights they can take away, and that it's okay to do that. But that's not what that applies to. That is not the Can't Yell Fire in a Crowded Theater, an infringement on your right to free speech that's simply saying you cannot use your free speech in order to commit a crime and get away with it. So it's not the same as creating new gun laws. Because what the left is trying to do, they aren't saying, oh, well, you can't use a gun and, you know, and go rob someone, and we're going to, you know, we recognize that. They're saying they want to create new crimes out of your rights. So they want to they want to create new crimes. They want to make it a crime to have so many bullets. They want to make it a crime to have an assault style weapon. They want to make it a crime to have a silencer, a suppressor. They want to make it a crime to. So they're creating new crimes that otherwise aren't crimes. That's different than committing a crime against somebody while utilizing one of the, you know, one of your ability, whether it's free press or you know, freedom of speech or right to bear arms. And those are two totally separate things. Whenever you hear somebody say, you cannot yell fire in a crowded theater, that is not true. You can. You absolutely can. In fact, there are, right? If you're, what do you think happens if you're in a theater and then there's a fire? Probably an employee is going to come and tell everybody to get out, or there are probably some sort of alarms that go off that, you know, are telling you the whole purpose loud to tell you there is a fire here. You can yell it. You just are not allowed to use free speech as an excuse to commit a crime. And that is not in any way, shape, or form or analogous to saying, well, you know, your rights, they're not complete. We have the ability to take some of them away. Those are two totally separate discussions. And frankly, it was one of the real sticking points and areas of great conflict when it came to even having those Bill of Rights spelled out, because there were many in the beginning who argued that if you list them, one day there will be people who do exactly what Joe Biden was doing last night. And that is make people believe that those are things that they can tinker with, or those are rights that you have because they're in the Constitution. And they said that's going to be very dangerous because you'll have tyrants eventually come along, and they will say, well, here, right to bear arms. Well, we could regulate. I mean, because we're the ones who gave you the rights. Unfortunately, they lost that debate. Springfield's Talk 104.1. I'm Nick Reed. Now, of course, there's the proposition that it's time for the wealthy to pay their fair share in taxes. The, you know, for all the talk that there's disproportionate this, disproportionate that, there is no greater disproportion than the wealthy and the burden of taxes that they pay. The wealthiest pay the vast majority of taxes. It is dishonest, and it is a lie to suggest otherwise, though we should not expect anything different from the left. In terms of corporations paying their fair share. You know, I get really tired as a thinking person of this portrayal of corporations that just sort of exist and make money and no one benefits from it but them. If you are able to drive yourself to work this morning, it's because you benefited from a corporation. That's their contribution. You know, there's an exchange there. Corporations and businesses exist because they offer up goods and services that people decide that's beneficial. That is a benefit to society. That is a benefit to me. And it is a benefit so much so that I'm willing to give up some of my money in exchange for it, an even trade. The technology that exists in hospitals, the vaccines that are out there, your smartphone. These are all, you know, this idea that corporations have just done absolutely nothing for us. the only way a corporation can exist, unless, you know, you subsidize them, is if they are contributing to society in a way that people think, huh, that's worth paying for. Corporations have done, you can't even put a value on how much more they have done for society than government has. When you drive around, and this is for any business. I mean, not everyone works for a corporation, but corporations provide jobs, as small businesses do. So when you drive around and you look at people that live, you know, the American dream, anybody who really, truly has experienced the American dream, is it because, well, government did it for them, or because they benefited from some form of business, be it small or a corporation, that as their contribution, if you want to call it that, to society was offer up a good and service that people wanted enough to where they had to hire people in exchange for their helping participate in the creation of that. I don't know about you, but I think that that's a pretty big contribution to our society. And this idea that corporations are just these entities that sit around and do absolutely nothing for us except for get out of paying taxes is a detachment from reality. Not to mention, newsflash, corporations don't pay taxes. So every time those Democrats or anyone stands up and applauds a proposal to increase taxes on corporation, they are applauding an increase of a tax on you. You pay that. Where do you think corporations get the money to pay taxes, to pay for regulations, to pay for keeping the lights on, to pay salaries? Where do you think that money comes from? It comes from the consumer. You pay that tax. So what Joe Biden and the Democrats are up there talking about is raising taxes on any American who buys any product at any time, no matter what it is. And sadly, there are millions of Americans who applaud that. And generally speaking, it's because they don't know any better. It's unfortunate. It's an unfortunate result of poor education in this country. We have the Nick's endorsement section at KSGF.com where you can find such businesses and folks like Aller Building Company. I actually saw somebody on social media yesterday post, hey, we're looking to buy a home. You know, anybody know? They just random this, random that. Look, I'm here to tell you, you need to check out Aller Building Company. For one, the price that they tell you is the price it's going to be. You don't have to worry about having it jacked up halfway through where they got you against a wall because your home's already halfway built. No two homes are alike. They have a showroom floor. You get to basically do the really fun part, and they do all the part that's not so much fun. You get a beautiful home. You get to create it and design it just the way that you want it. Customize it. Aller Building Company, O-L-L-E-R. Find them under Nick's endorsements at KSGF.com.